My last semester of seminary, your last semester of seminary is a really big thing. There's all of this pressure, and you see this community you've lived with for 3 years in sort of this crucible-like thing. You've studied together, you've studied long, strange hours together, you've worked together, you've prayed together. It's all about to end. Of course, my last semester of seminary was a little odd because I had surgery during spring break, which I don't recommend. It's not actually a fun spring break activity to have brain surgery, unless your doctor says you probably should, and then you should probably listen to your doctor. So I listened to my doctor, and I had brain surgery. And the other thing I remember very clearly about that semester is Easter was very early. Easter is a variable date, so it can happen for as early as late March and as late April. And that year, Easter was very early. And when you're in seminary, spring break and Holy Week are never the same week because, like, we're expected to work Holy Week. So I'd had surgery and was working on going back to classes. And what you learn once you've had surgery is that everything hurts. And you're very, very tired all of the time. You take your morning nap, and then you get up and you walk across the room, and then you take your second morning nap before you walk back across the room. You are very, very tired. And Holy Week was coming. And I love Holy Week. I'd loved Holy Week for years, and this would be my last Holy Week with this community. After this, my whole class would leave and graduate, and we'd go all over the world. So I planned so carefully. I knew what time the services were. I'd been there for 2 years, so I knew what the services were about. And I figured out how I could make it to the services that were most important to me. And one of my favorite services in Holy Week is Maundy Thursday. We tell the story of Jesus' last dinner with his friends and disciples, of how he washed their feet, and then we strip the altar and we prepare for Good Friday. I love that service. And I was very excited because I didn't do anything all day, which is easy. They cancel classes for us because we're all very busy. And I saved up my energy so I could go to church that night. And I got to church and I was tired, but I was feeling pretty fine. And then I looked in the chapel and I realized there was no way I could have my feet washed. They had very carefully and deliberately laid out 3 different foot washing stations that were nicely spaced out and sort of looked good in the space. And there were steps up to each of them. And I knew I couldn't handle going up the steps to get my feet washed. This morning, we hear Peter. And Peter is speaking to sort of a divided community. We think of the early church as this happy, lovely place where everyone got along, and that is not how it was. Peter is speaking to a divided community. On one hand, you have the Jews who have come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and have become Christians. And on the other hand, you have the Gentiles, those people who were not Jews, but still believe Jesus was the Messiah. And they're trying to figure out what the church will look like, if the church has space for these people who were not Jewish. And Peter this morning looks at them and he says, how could we prevent them from receiving holy baptism? We are a welcoming church, aren't we? We do very well at it. We really do. And we do well at it in a lot of ways that are tricky for some churches. We have a lift so you can get up to the hall. We have a bathroom anyone can use. And we are genuinely welcoming and happy to see people when they walk in. But this morning, we are asked to do something a little bit bigger than be welcoming. We are asked to look around and wonder what it is we are doing that makes it hard for people to come to church. That Maundy Thursday in seminary, none of my friends who had set up the chapel had looked around and thought, we'll make it so Robin can't do this. But none of them had looked around and thought, it's Stairs can be tricky for some people. Let's put one of the chairs where anyone can reach it. How do we become a church that doesn't prevent people from coming to God? That's a long process that we have started on, and our Reach campaign has unfolded out of some of that. But part of it is also all of us taking a moment to look at this church that we love so much and that is so wonderful and wondering, what is it like if you can't walk well? What is this church like if you have a small child? What is this church like if? There's good news. Some of the questions are very easy to answer. And there's hard news. The more you ask these questions, the more questions you wind up with. How does this church speak to the divisions in our community? We just had an election. We know there are divisions in our community. We are a church on Treaty 6 land. We have inherited historical divisions in our community. How are we working to bring reconciliation and build better relationships? How are we doing at walking into our church and saying, what if someone came who had a child with autism? What if someone came who couldn't walk? What if someone came who was different than we are? Peter asks us, what are we doing to prevent those who want to come to reach God? And Jesus reminds us this morning that we are to abide in his love, the kind of love that didn't care if people were different, that reached over barriers and across time and space to enfold all of us, and to enfold all those we want to have able to join us this morning. Amen.